is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Dell, because as soon as the show starts, Lance gets up and leaves. Dell's got his hands out. Like, what? What is he doing? What?
He said John Clay Wolf took all the headphones.
John Clay Wolf did not take your headphones. John Clay Wolf was here on Saturday. He had a party here. There's like 70 people out there in the atrium.
He left this giant-ass sign here.
Beer and food and all kinds of stuff. We got to get John Clay Wolf on.
Apparently, it was the 1,000th show.
How about John Clay Wolf showing up a half hour late for his 1,000th show?
Can we really take shots at people for that? I mean, we've had our issues.
I've never missed the show, beginning of a show.
I wouldn't say you missed the show. You might have been in the wrong place for a show.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a real possibility. What? He's walking around the halls.
You would think he would have figured this out before the show. He's screaming at John Clay Wolf.
John Clay Wolf took his headphones.
I got to go find this guy some headphones.
John Clay Wolf did not take your headphones. Oh, my God. So now I'm doing the show. This is unbelievable. This is how we start on Monday. This is how we start. I'm looking forward to next week, Florida. I'll be in Florida with the Astros. They all report, pitchers and catchers report tomorrow, and then they start full workouts on Wednesday. And we're going next week. Well, I'm going, so everybody else is pissed here. Next week, and we're going to have all the interviews and everything else when everybody reports. That's going to be good. You got to go. I mean, are you not? Is this? Have you found some headphones? That's nice. Here, there's headphones right in. They're not yours. John Clay Wolf didn't touch your headphones. Good Lord. I know it's not. Dell wrote in a piece that I just retweeted. It's not baseball season yet, but I'm sorry. If you ain't excited about this Astros team, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. All right? Picking up Gerrit Cole, this rotate, a full season of Verlander. The lineup is basically the same without a guy. I guess you lost Beltran, a guy who really couldn't hit last year all that well. This is, are you kidding me? With the Rockets playing the way that they are, this is going to be a great spring. Unfortunately, Lent starts Wednesday, and then I won't be able to drink through any of it.
Well, you know, it's funny. So the very first year I did the NFL thing, I started in the fall of 14. And then so in the spring of 15 in April, right? It was like April 6th or 7th. They fly me out to do the car wash. And car washing, so you like mm-hmm. you go on like three different shows. Right. Is that a common term?
ESPN has the car wash all the time. You were going to go on all the shows.
Yeah. So I didn't know what that term was. Yeah. So they fly me out there. It's going to, you know, it's like 3 weeks before the draft. And they said, we'll do the car washing. You'll do Mock Draft Live, which is a show we do every year. You'll do it live in studio.
Morning Cup, whatever it's called.
You do the morning show they had before, Good Morning Football. They had a different one that was on with Rhett Lewis and those guys. And so I'm sitting there, and we're about to film Mock Draft Live with me and Matt Money Smith, Daniel Jeremiah. And these guys are, Money is a Dodger fan. And DJ is a San Diego Padre fan. He grew up in San Diego area. And so I'm sitting there, and this is, now remember, this is spring of 15. Try to take yourself back there. And they're talking baseball. It's just starting. They're talking pitchers. And I'm like, I got nothing. They're like, I'm Astros.
Right.
It's terrible. You know, and now this is, now they end up going to.
Yeah, they went to the playoffs that year.
Went to the playoffs. Yeah. Keuchel was money. Yeah. They had a fun team, you know, the home run. They crushed city. And I remember just thinking, must be fun talking about having a team. Like, I don't even barely know who's on a team, and I host a sports talk show. I can just tell you about George Springer and Altuve, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And Keuchel, and there was one other, I can't remember who the other pitcher was, but McCullers wasn't even a blip on the radar. So I remember thinking, you know, God, they're just sitting here talking baseball on the set before we start taping. I got nothing. I got nothing for them. And I'm American League now. Well, don't even know anything about the American League teams other than Yankees and Red Sox. Everyone forces you into that. And then fast forward to when I go this year, just like, hey, boys, you guys,
how you doing?
You sucking hind teeth now?
Mm-hmm.
Because we got the thing, remember that thing with the trophy? And then a pitcher got another one and everything, remember that? And now there's talk about maybe adding a catcher. Have you seen that rumor over the weekend?
Uh-uh.
What's his name? From, I'll pull it up for you in a second. Yeah, there's more rumors with the Astros. There's more adding. Oh, God, I'm forgetting his name. Catcher is 27, baller. It'll come to me in a second. But they, yeah,
is there's remodel?
Yeah, there it is. For, by the way, for Tucker.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker.
That seems a little excessive. I don't think the, I don't think that's happening. Because you're adding another money guy. You got club control until 20. If you make that trade, but then you're just adding another guy you got to pay. Like, does that make sense? You got enough guys that you have to pay by around 20. Why would you add another one unless you are basically giving up on one of your other guys? Like, I don't know.
Well, then that McCann goes into the DH and.
Well, I understand what you do with the lineup. I'm just saying, what do you do about future payments? You're not going to give up Tucker for a rental.
Yeah, but they love, what they love, though, they covet is guys under control. And if you're at the major league level, they probably think, you know what? We'll get another Kyle Tucker. You know what?
Yeah, you might be right, but here's my point.
And if I'm Jeff Luhnow, I always think that jump shot is going to be there. I always think I'm going to hit that next, like Ryan Anderson. I'm always going to hit that next jump shot.
But see, but this is my point, though, John.
Good Lord, him last night. Oh, God.
How many guys do you now have who you are going to be coming up and no longer in club control? I mean, they are, but they're getting paid a lot. You can't have Correa's going to start getting paid in a couple of years.
Yeah.
George is right now. Altuve is going to be a monster payment. You got a decision to make on Keuchel. Verlander's costing you money for the next few years.
But you turn over lineups then. By the way,
who's going? Who's leaving?
Whoever goes. Whoever doesn't sign.
God, I just hate that.
And then the next guy comes. That's the thing about it is.
I guess it is kind of like that. Like, I'm so shell-shocked from the post-Hunsicker era that I just am terrified of losing good players.
Yeah.
The post-Hunsicker era has me terrified.
I saw a win chart, and it goes all the way down to, like, in 5 years, with the guys that you're going to lose or that come due, and you more than likely don't or you won't be able to pay, that they'd go down to somewhere around 76 wins in 5 years. But it doesn't add – none of that adds to what you're going to acquire. And – you know what? If you don't trust in Luhnow, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The dude has made great. Yeah, whatever. The Appel, not Chris Bryant. Okay. Everybody makes mistakes.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? They won the world title, and guess what? They're fine. You got to believe that he's going to be able to continue to find. Now, he ain't picking at the top anymore, but you know what? He found second and third and fourth and a seventh rounders. I mean, you have to believe. And in baseball, it's way different than football. Or it's way different than basketball anyway. It's almost impossible to find a second rounder now that is going to play and be great for you. It's just it's nearly impossible. Once you get through the first seven guys, there's nobody left in the draft. In baseball, you could find the 78th pick overall or whatever overall pick. And he can turn into a great guy. It's all about projection. And I think Luhnow gets it better than anybody we've seen. Look, Jeff Luhnow is the best general manager that we have. And maybe have seen here in, since the Oilers days, the construct of those Oilers teams in the early 90s, the late 80s and early 90s. This is the best. Jerry Hunsicker did a hell of a job. Daryl Morey's doing a hell of a job. But Jeff Luhnow's the best we've seen.
You know, this is the truth. When you're a big boy team with championship aspirations who win championships, you don't do that accidentally. It comes through tremendous drafting, development, usually moves that solidify teams and strengthen teams. Verlander, for example. And really, other moves beyond that. Ken Giles and... not exactly a Giles fan these days, but he was the closer last year for the regular season. You know, moves like that. And it's just part of it where you're either going to be paying. When you have players like this, like the payoff for having, these are the kind of problems you have to deal with when you have this kind of talent. This is, we have never in Houston history seen, the only time I can go back to it is when, those Oiler teams, and see, they got ravaged by what was called Plan B free agency back then,
yeah.
which was a free agency. Basically, if you had too many good players, they just got picked apart on you and just taken away. And they were a tremendously deep group. I don't know that I've ever seen a sports. I was trying to think. 86 Rockets were pretty deep, but this is a different. These are stars. Like, I don't think any Houston team, relative to a roster size, has had this many young core stars. This is insane. And so, but one of the, you know, the pains that come with that is you're going to have to worry about how you pay them. But you're better off just relaxing, letting go, and just you know, showing everyone your championship ring that you get. Even though we're fans, we don't get championship rings.
Well,
we don't actually get them, but we get to brag about them. We're T-shirts and hats.
We do. We do that a lot.
Yeah,
we do that a lot around here.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Well, and so when I'm so this April, and actually I'm not even going to wait. I'll do this at Combine. Like, hey boys, what are the Dodgers looking like this year? Oh, hey Monty, sorry about what happened with the Astros and Dodgers. Hey DJ, sorry that you're a Padres fan. I'm just going to say that. I don't know if you heard. George Springer and Altuve and Keuchel and Verlander and Correa. Cole. Those are McCullers. We got Uncle Charlie, aka the Professor. We're pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you didn't hear.
Pretty deep.
Yeah. If you guys want to talk
Bolstered
baseball,
the bullpen.
If you want to talk baseball during the breaks, let me know. I'll talk a little baseball with you now. It's all because I'm all grossed up. And my team is all grossed up now. So let me know what you guys are going to do to try to catch up. What kind of moves are you making? I saw you guys got rid of Darvish. Good move.
And by the way, how's your San Diego and your L.A. basketball team doing?
I heard you guys got Isaiah Thomas. That's cool.
Yeah. That's a nice move. Got rid of some good young players that made the Cavs the favorite in the East again. Nice job.
What are the San Diego Clippers doing?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In that team since you were like three.
Well, at the game last night, I don't know how the Mavs win any games without Dirk, to tell you the truth, but it was just a seven. The Rockets were 15-point favorites last night, and they ended up winning by seven. Let's talk about that on the other side. Your Houston Rockets just a half game out of the best record in basketball.
Yesterday was kind of a cruise control game for them.
It was.
They're just like, let's just get through
but
this.
But they're so, it's just, yeah. I mean, there was never any point where you felt like, even it was,
I never
you
thought
know,
Dallas was
never thought, never thought that. But that's a bad basketball. That was like, I didn't know three guys on the court. I've never seen them. It was like,
you know, Doug McDermott, who they just dealt
yeah,
for?
I knew him.
I looked at that team, I was like, whew.
Wow.
What is y'all's record? Oh, that's right. You're bad.
You're really
you're getting
bad.
Worse.
That's a really, really, how did it happen? I was like, how did it go from, what was it, 2011 they won?
You want to stay, Dirk.
How in the hell did it go from that to this?
That was a good run. It ran out. Ran out of gas. They're in Astros mode now, 2007, 2008. They're like 2008, 2009 Astros now. Like, oh, my God. This is what the abyss looks like.
Have fun with all your teams.
And Dirk is...
Your teams all blow, Dallas.
Dirk is Roy Oswalt right now. Like, oh, my God.
What am I doing? Who are these guys?
What is happening?
Listen, this is a locker room. Okay. I know you've know this is where you get your shoes. I mean, every day it's like, who the hell are you? And where did you come from? Have you ever played before? Oh yeah. Well, hey, great. I'm playing with you now. without Dirk there, that is a bad, bad basketball
team. Bad team. They need some help. You might need some help. That's where Men's T Clinic comes in. They are help. They are help getting you back to the squad you used to be. If you say, man, my squad used to win championships. My squad was a championship squad. They beat LeBron and Dwayne Wade at one point. Well, that's back when your squad had a correct level of testosterone. Maybe your squad doesn't have that same level of testosterone right now. Maybe you need that help and you need the boost to get back to where you once were. And that's what Men's T Clinic can do. You don't have to age into just oblivion where you say, man, belly fat just won't go anywhere on the workouts. I don't have any drive to get off this couch. my libido isn't where it once was. I don't have the energy to get through the day like I did. You know, if you recognize any of these, it can just be one, it could be multiple. That could be signs of low testosterone. It could be something else, but if it is low testosterone, there's a solution. And Men's T Clinic will get you tested. They find out where your numbers are, and they can get you corrected very, very quickly. The first thing you're going to see is a huge burst of energy. Within 2 to 3 months, you're going to see big differences in the way that you feel, the way you work out, and your body type will start to change. Head to the website, mensteaclinic.com. It is a monster win for you. It was for me. It will be for you. Locations in Pearland at 288 Discovery Bay in Cypress, and also at 1801 Durham and I-10, mensteaclinic.com. Playing Buenos Aires while they sleep in Buenos Noches.
Wonder if I wrote this, cause it's... You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
I wish I could say that I'm sorry, but I'm over that now. I'm taking you out. It's a cruel, cruel world.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Honestly, is there any way that Daryl Morey doesn't win GM of the Year? Is there any possible? This edition of Gerald Green...
I
knocking down shots.
It. When I saw Gerald Green, I'm like, what, are we trying to get an older guy for a dunk contest before the All-Star game? What is this? Holy crap. I didn't know he could hit threes like this. He is instant offense.
Well, over the weekend, apparently Brandon Wright has committed to playing for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Because he's like a verbal commit. He's going to do a hat flip, maybe, to another team at some point. And also Joe Johnson has allegedly verbally committed to playing for the Rockets.
See, now, where is Joe Johnson? He should have been there last night. What's he doing?
I don't know if they have to clear some roster space. I'm not sure what the deal is, but that's... I don't know if he's even signed yet, but he has verbally committed unless another team comes and drops a bag.
I don't care if you sign, get your ass out
and
there.
And then he'll verbally commit to someplace else and sign.
So they added that backup center, or the backup big. Well, they're going to, in Brandon Wright.
Yeah.
And then Joe Johnson, I guess, is just veteran presence. I mean,
he didn't play much in Utah, but he was big in their last playoff series, at least the one they won against the Clippers. He helped them win that one. But I don't know if the Joe Johnson thing is definite yet, because the Alabama, the NBA might swoop in. Like, the Cavs might swoop in and go, hey, Joe, we got a bag for you. You sure you want to go with the Rockets? You sure?
Look, get him, you don't get him. I don't know, it's the end of the world. Brandon Wright, for example, this year, he's been in the league for a while, never really lived up to the hype. He was a lottery pick who never even hit double digits for his entire career. But he's a big body. This year he was averaging 13 and a half minutes a game, 5 points a game, and 3.4 rebounds. So it's not like, you may remember his name because he was the seventh pick of the draft, but I think he was seventh. But, I mean, he's just a big body. But he's just another big body with experience on your bench. Joe Johnson is a nice name because he played for Mike D'Antoni. But at the end of the day, I don't know that he's really going to be a big factor. I'm not really sure what or where. They got a pretty good lineup going.
It'll be interesting to see how many minutes he can get on the floor.
Well, all Daryl did was just said, yeah, we're not trading anything or anybody. We'll just do the second trade deadline, which is called buyouts.
Until Trevor Ariza comes back. Yeah. You can use him because let's face it, the depth. The other night they played without Eric Gordon, they played without Trevor Ariza, and who was the third? There were three guys down. They were down to like seven guys, and so you can always use the depth. And you never know who's going to get hurt. But a Joe Johnson coming in and lighting it up, standing there and just hitting shots.
Well,
I'm all for it.
And by the way, I was joking. There is no other team in the mix. It looks like as long as he clears waivers, as KJ points out, which I believe he did. So he should be a Rocket. There is no real other team. At least he appears to want to play for the Houston Rockets. And I don't know how much he'll bring. Not that the Jazz are a team after they lost Gordon Hayward that was really competitive in terms of making the playoffs. But the last time we saw him in any way, shape, or form, he was helping. He was scoring big buckets in the playoffs. So maybe still has that in him.
So do you give – okay, I give Daryl Morey a lot of credit for – because no one – Trader Daryl will go. He doesn't – you know what? Forget it. I know. Yeah, Gogi's he's a great ball. Kyle Lowry beat it. It doesn't matter. Daryl Morey will trade you. For having restraint this trade deadline, I give him a lot of credit. Do you give Kobe Altman credit for this, for what the Cavs are doing? And possibly, I think the Cavs are probably the best team in the East again now.
I don't know. It was one game.
No, it was one game, there's a lot of things. You know, you got to trade. Did they not have to? And the thing that I worried about with Daryl Morey was, don't ruin this chemistry. Boy, did they need a chemistry change there.
For those who don't know, or didn't know, or the Cavs made a series of moves basically to hit reset for their whole team. They do still have Kevin Love, but they moved, for example, the Isaiah Thomas trade for Kyrie Irving was a disaster. They moved him, got Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. So there was an influx of, and who was the other trade? What was the other one they made?
They brought in Rodney Hood.
Yeah, Rodney Hood.
They brought in George Hill.
So George Hill, and those are all good. I mean, those are all real talents. George Hill, Rodney Hood. They just said, let's trade these guys. They gave up some expiring contracts. Basically, the Lakers said, yeah, bring on the expiring contracts. We'll give you young talent because we want LeBron and Paul George. So they dealt a couple of talented young players. In L.A., it just feels like a collection of young guys, and it has for about the last 5 to 6 years, but it hasn't really meant anything to them. So they're just saying,
they kept their good young players. Jordan Clarkson's a good player now.
No, he is a good player. He is a good player. But they just said, look, we understand we need expiring contracts, so here's what we're going to do. They claim they're going to keep Isaiah Thomas. We'll see. But so what the Cleveland Cavaliers did was basically say, look, we're going to get rid of these guys, and we're going to build for the future. The Cavs know LeBron. There's a good chance he could bolt. So they needed to get some young talent on the roster. The upshot of that is maybe there's enough to excite LeBron to stay and tough it out around other good young talent if they can. But they knew they had to. Look, you're just bringing guys in. They haven't played with each other. That's why them whipping the Cavs' ass is such a surprising thing, is because the Cavs, with almost no practice time together, look good. They look young. They looked energetic. And LeBron is still one of the best players on the planet, obviously. But what's interesting is the Cavs basically said, look, even if we lose LeBron, we gotta be proactive and get some young talent. We can't just let guys go away and get stuck where we once were. And so they went out and they made some moves. And so even if LeBron leaves, they've still got some young talent. But now if you're LeBron James, you say, do I really want to go to the West and deal with the Rockets, Spurs, and Golden State Warriors? Or would I rather sit over here where it's a little more comfortable in the East? Where, as Dell notes in our show notes, did anyone realize the Raptors were first in the East? It's a lot friendlier in the East.
Well, if they have home court advantage throughout, that they're going to be a real problem because they're really, really good at
home.
Here's
the thing. LeBron's, I would say, see what you guys think of this. If LeBron has a chance to stay in Cleveland, I think it helps his image, number one. And it might be easier to win in Cleveland in the future with this lineup around him. And especially if they use a mid-level exception to go out and get another, you know, decent player.
But there's a bit of a bonus, too. Give me the timeline. It's the draft, then free agency, right, for the NBA?
Yes. It's draft first.
They have the Brooklyn pick.
Yeah.
So Brooklyn is about 7 or 8. They have to keep it, I guess. I don't know the exact rules. They traded their own first round picks. They have to keep Brooklyn's. If LeBron figures out, hey, you just won the draft lottery, and all of a sudden you have a top three, maybe not even win the draft lottery, finish in a top three. All of a sudden you have an elite possible player coming out of the draft. That's another young piece to add to your roster. So a lot of things can fall in the Cavs' favor depending on how this season, the rest of it goes. You could add another young piece, whether LeBron's there or not, a cheap piece that can be there for years, particularly if you luck out with the Brooklyn pick.
Well, yeah, with this, what he did. But here's the problem I have with it. Just like the Rick Smith-Brock trade to Cleveland. Oh, my God. Brilliant move. Genius. What a great job. Wait a minute. You screwed up signing him. Then you had to give up a second rounder. This Kobe Altman, now, he hit reset. But you know what? It was his mistake in the first place, all those guys.
Yeah, you traded Kyrie, and I guess you felt like you had to. You couldn't work it out. But then you traded for the wrong piece.
I guess. Oh, and by the way, how can the Lakers keep Isaiah Thomas if they want LeBron?
I don't think they want Isaiah
Did you
Thomas.
See that he...
I know, they said that to make him happy. There's no way.
There's no chance.
They don't want Isaiah Thomas.
No. He did... What did he do yesterday? He liked Kyrie shooting over LeBron.
Did you see when LeBron put a booster chair on a seat next to him? Like, he put a... They had something... right when he was about to sit down on the bench, he put... They had like a little... like a little box or something, he put it on the chair there for him. Like, LeBron did it to Isaiah Thomas. So disrespectful.
A little bit. Here's your booster chair.
So disrespectful. By the way, July 1st is free agency date. June 21st is draft date. So you're right, Dale. It's 9 days prior, which I kind of like. I like it the other way. The NFL says, let's do free agency so you know what you have to
draft. Yeah, that's what you need.
That's actually, I think, a better way to do it.
Yeah.
But free agency is... it's just big name, you know. Free agency in basketball is not the same thing as free agency in football. You can fill in key slots. Like, you fill in key slots so that you don't have to reach in the draft. That's what you do in the NFL.
Right. All right, 727 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
Yeah, let's go, guys. Come on in. Because if not, there's always line four. And every day, without fail, line four is there.
The first one lined up every day.
Yeah, so you can be part of it.
Anyway.
And we come back. I love the Gronk. I want to get to the Gronk story because this Gronk story going on is really funny.
Well, that and the Johnny Manziel story. That's something we need to get to.
That's the other one.
But first, let's talk about how about the car? How about Craig DeSurf?
I tell you, so I just got into a 2-year lease with the Chevy Traverse. And I'm going to tell you something. I know that there's other things that I'm supposed to tell you about and the other incentives and deals that they've got going on for the rest of February, and I'll get to them in a second. But I have to tell you, the Traverse is fantastic. This is a crossover vehicle that basically has the exact body type. Like, I've seen a lot of different crossover vehicles, but this is my favorite because it's got the long body look of an SUV. It's just a little lower to the ground, so it basically handles great. I mean, handles fantastic. It's smooth. It's comfortable. It really is like an SUV, only a lot less expensive. Now, they've got some phenomenal SUVs right now. The Chevy Suburban, the Yukon, and they've got great deals going on them right now. They also have great deals going on crew cab pickup trucks, the Chevy Silverado. That's going on as well. As a matter of fact, $10,000 off MSRP on all 2018 Chevy 1500 crew cab Texas edition. With GM financial financing, 15% off MSRP on all 2018 GMC Acadias, which is a crossover vehicle, and up to $9,000 MSRP on all in-stock Buick LaCrosse cars. So whether it's pickups, SUVs, crossovers, or cars, my boys there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC have you covered. It's in Angleton. If you're worried about the drive, I can promise you this. About 40 minutes, you're there, and it's going to save you thousands. Head down to Angleton and see my friends, or do everything online if you want to at LanceZCars.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
just rewatch it. I wasn't here on Fridays. So I don't know what you did. The greatest show on the radio station, they played that? The Jason Kelce? Just tremendous. How much did you guys watch Ted Potter Jr. This weekend? Did Pebble just dominate?
Who was Ted Potter
Jr.? I didn't see that. Gunpowder Jr.?
No.
What'd you say?
Ted Potter Jr.
So did he win some duel, like, at sundown or noon, whatever, high noon? Ted Potter, who the
Potter.
Hell is that?
Gunpowder Jr. was, yeah. was in a fight.
No, yeah, Ted Potter Jr. down the stretch beat Dustin Johnson. Okay.
At the OK Corral?
No, at Pebble Beach.
Dusty Johnson and Gunpowder Jr.? It's Dusty and Gunpowder. High noon.
What is wrong with you two?
I didn't see the golf thing.
You did?
Is Dusty going to die from cholera?
I didn't see the golf thing he said.
Who's got dysentery?
Yeah.
give him some sarsaparilla.
I didn't see the golf thing.
Sarsaparilla.
Phil finished second, along with Ches Reavy, Jason Day, and Dustin. All right. Three strokes back.
By the way, let's stop something right now. Let's not say Dustin Johnson like Dustin, he should only get one name. He's not Prince. Dustin. He's not Shaq.
In the golf world, he's Dustin.
He doesn't get just one name.
Well, he's DJ.
He's done things.
He's DJ.
He's done things.
Oh, he does a lot of things.
He does stuff.
Some of those things in the past have been coke.
And he played with his father-in-law.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Great one.
It's the celebrity, never mind.
He's married to Paulina Poroshkova. She was a former Super Bowl.
Paulina Gretzky. Yeah,
I get mixed up.
Do you think Wayne looks at him and goes, hey, could you not bleep this up with my daughter? Like, I know you've got your issues.
Hey, cokehead, can you just keep my daughter off the blow?
Well, yeah. How about, I'm the greatest.
Maybe in here.
Maybe it's, hey, daughter. Can you keep that stuff away from DJ?
As John Granato said, Wayne.
Yeah.
In case you come looking sure at the station.
Are you sure which came first, the chicken or the egg?
I'm going to blame Dustin because she's the pretty one.
Well.
Yeah, you always go with the.
Did he ever get suspended before he was with her?
I don't know. Did he?
No. Let's get Gilbert in here. Gilbert wants to talk on the radio. This is surprising. Gilbert's called this morning. Hey, Gilbert.
Snore.
Yeah. Gilbert! Oh! All right, hang on. Well, we went to him. There's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about that.
There's nothing we can do about it.
By the way, so Rob Gronkowski, we didn't get to this. This feels like, Del, I know you like this. Did any of you get a little smile when the story broke late last week that Rob Gronkowski had been considering shutting it down for his career?
And that it's real.
This is real. Well, this is a guy who's had medical issues.
This is not like
in
Ben.
College. No, he's had medical issues in college, which caused him to drop in the pros. He had the concussion. And I've long felt that these contracts now are going to make guys more likely to leave a little earlier than later because they're making so much money now. They don't have to stick around just for paydays.
Right.
And I think you're going to see, like, I think JJ will shut it down early. I think Gronk will shut it down early. But my favorite story was that Sylvester Stallone and was it The Rock are telling him, yeah, you should stop. You should get into acting. It felt like they were just clowning. I'm like, no, you should. Gronk, you should shut the football thing down and get into acting. I think it'd be amazing. You'd be incredible as an action hero. You think I should be an actor? Yes, for sure. It's like now he wants to be an actor because Dwayne The Rock Johnson told him, which Dwayne probably was clowning him. Sly probably doesn't know any better. Like, yeah, I think you should be. And Rock's like, oh, for sure. I think you'd be incredible. And then he's going to, you know, end up in some action movie. It'll make good money the first one, and the rest of them will tank after Patriots fans are done watching.
He can't be the lead.
No, he cannot possibly be the lead.
He can play not even a bad guy.
He can be the henchman.
He's like Ronda Rousey. He can play the bodyguard.
The meathead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. In some comedy, he's the meathead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody telling him that the comedy stuff is a good idea. Like, yeah, but you're really funny. You should do a stand-up show.
I will do a stand-up
Gronk
show.
Gronk can't even be in a comedy with the meathead because there's about timing. No way he has any timing.
Don't forget, in a movie, you can have like 20, 30 takes.
Yeah, that gets expensive with Gronk, though.
But when he fails in the movies, because he will fail miserably in the movies, memorizing lines, come on. Anyway, Gronk told TMZ, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, about going to the WWE.
Oh, that's
now,
perfect.
That is because, you know, no one's ever had injuries or any kind of physical ailments in the WWE. You stay super healthy there, especially physically and mentally.
Yeah, but honestly, lock of the world is Gronk going to WWE.
So, and it was with Ronda Rousey, and it is with Conor McGregor. All three will end up there. I think they were all at one point on Reebok, like Reebok ads. Now they'll all be in wrestling.
Well, and you hit it on the head, though. Oh, well, my body, I don't know how much more football I can take.
Go to wrestling
and see how that works
out. Yeah, but he's not going to be doing like 290 shows a year like the regular wrestlers who end up addicted to OxyContin and have snakes on them.
Yeah, right.
He'll make his
matches
six appearances a year.
won't be an hour and a half. They'll be
about
12 minutes.
He'll come in at the end like, here comes Rob Gronkowski!
Yeah.
And he'll, you know, throw blood on somebody and then hit him with the Rob Gronkowski spike, you know, where he takes a football and spikes it on somebody. That'll be his move. And, oh, my God! And people, grown men, will dress up and outfits and, you know,
yeah.
And have discussions on Reddit about it. What do you think his character is going to do? Do you think Rob's going to do a spike? Or is Rob going to come up with a new thing called the Gronk, where he grabs somebody by the ears and pulls him down and hits him into his butthole? What do you think he's going to do? Is he going to do something where he slams him into his crotch by the ears? What's his move going to be? What's his finishing hold going to be?
Well, it's got to be the spike.
Like, I'm just over here trying to
How about he spikes a human being? I mean, he's going to take somebody and spike him, and that'll be his finishing.
Yeah, it's got to be something about the spike.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll check it out on Reddit.
And then
in a grown man discussion group.
I swear, thinking about him and his celebration after the touchdown.
The one where he goes.
He was.
The point.
That was the
one of the
best.
One of the best drives, most dominant quarters ever of football.
Ever.
Who was that? Was it the Steelers?
It was the Steeler game.
Which completely dominated the Steelers. Yeah, because it was Sean Davis having his career ruined.
And when he looked at him and laughed and then shook again like he was. I swear to God, that was the funniest. He's got to do that in WWE. And I might actually watch that wrestling stuff if he does.
You're going to sit through an hour plus to get the Gronk?
Nah, I'm just kidding. So. I'm just lying. I don't care about that.
Here comes Cholo! And there's the Mexican character named Cholo because wrestling's got the deep, rich history of cultural stereotypes.
Yeah.
When I was in school, we had somebody called whoever the terrorist group was, they would create a wrestler that was like was the henchman or the strongman like Gaddafi. There was like a Gaddafi. There was a Muammar Gaddafi character. And there was, if my brother's listening, you could text. There was a character from a country. If your country had done something bad, like shot down a plane, trust me, wrestling the next week, we need to get a character from there. Immediately get that on there.
All right. And speaking of culture, oh my God, is NBC catching it in a bunch of different ways at these Olympics? Katie Couric, and they've had to apologize more than a few times already. And Johnny Weir, we've got to play some Johnny Weir sound. Johnny Weir is awesome.
Why is she apologizing?
That's a man.
That's a guy.
What do you mean, Katie Couric?
Oh, okay. Katie Couric.
Yeah.
She said that.
I didn't call Johnny Weir.
I didn't know what you're doing.
Okay, the timing. No, I meant Katie Couric.
Johnny
Weir is just being catty gay man, just like slamming people left and right.
Are you sure he's gay?
It's a guess.
Well, are you sure?
I think he's out. I think Johnny's
are
out.
You're not certain of this.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
I don't think you can't be certain of this.
I feel certain.
When we come back, we got to play some Johnny Weir. We got to get some Johnny Weir out
there. Why is Katie Couric in trouble?
Well, she said when they come out in Amsterdam that they skate to work, and that's why they're so great. Of their 110 medals, speed skating is all but five of their medals.
For the Netherlands?
For the
Holland,
Netherlands.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And they were like, and the Netherlands, people from Amsterdam are like,
to work?
They were like, really?
We drive, we ride bikes, we skate to work?
Yeah. In the Summer Olympics, we're going to win all the bicycle race because we ride our bike to work.
It'd be like if Katie was like, yeah, the America has a great history of winning equestrian races. But particularly in Texas, because they all ride horses to work.
Yeah, right. That's why they're so great at equestrian. Katie Couric is catching it. And then there was we'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But right now, hey, guys.
Yeah, of course the Iron Sheik was what.
Oh, yeah.
America!
Oh, he's still awesome.
Yeah.
He's the best. RoseExpress.com. I got on Twitter, somebody asked me, hey, what's that website? RoseExpress.com. 25 roses for $29. But today is the day that you have to do it.
Yeah, you better get going.
No, today, because you need it by Wednesday.
And you know exactly what guys are doing right now? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I thought it was on a weekend. I was like, no, it's day after tomorrow.
Right.
So you order today. It's delivered on Wednesday. It's delivered on Valentine's Day. Order right. Guys, when you finish listening to this commercial, get on your phone, just pull over in traffic, turn your hazards on, and immediately go roseexpress.com. I don't know, John, what does it take? It takes, I think, 3 minutes to order roses, or could be less if you have your credit card information stored in your phone or in your phone. If you have it stored, it'll take less than that because there's five boxes, 25, 50, 75, 100, 125 roses. Fire 125 roses at her. What happens.
Or get them, have them delivered, and then you spread them all over the house.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Boom, boom.
Or all over the room, whatever room you like to enjoy. Boom. All you need to do is go to roseexpress.com, but you got to do it now. Roseexpress.com. That's roseexpress.com.
Don't screw this up.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Hi. I am looking for Molly. I've been searching everywhere and I can't seem to find Molly. 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 Molly.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Del Raheel joins us at 9. Lance is here till 9:30. If you want to get in, 1-3780-3776. Yeah, apparently Josh Cooper-Ramo is a guy that NBC hired to give a perspective of the culture and whatnot of the Korean people. And apparently he said, as the Japanese were walking into the Olympics, every Korean will tell you Japan is a culture and technological and economic example that has been so important to their own transformation. Well, Japan occupied Korea from 1910 to 1945 and committed a bunch of atrocities. And their Korean people are like, what are you saying? And the thing is, NBC, I can understand the people who are, you had all this time and you're going to talk about Japan in a positive light. You had all this time to prepare for the Olympics. And in the opening ceremonies, you guys are really creating a faux pas because Japan is not something that they look back on or they look at fondly. So you really, you catch yourself, NBC. And yeah. then there's, oh my God, is that not the best tweet ever?
Tim Kennedy. he's an MMA fighter. He said he's got a picture. It's Mike Tirico turn, and then there is the announcer in the middle, the blonde with the blonde hair and the microphone. She's got a little cute little outfit on. And then there's Johnny Weir.
Tara Lipinski, you mean?
Is that Tara Lipinski?
Yeah.
That's Tara Lipinski?
Yeah, that's
Tara Lipinski. Doesn't look like Tara Lipinski to me. Yeah. Anyway, and then you got Johnny Weir. I saw it when I was at Prime Social playing poker. One of the guys goes, hey, is that a guy? He's got lipstick on. I'm like, it's Johnny Weir. What do you think? Come on. Yeah, it's Johnny Weir. You don't know about Johnny. The table didn't know Johnny Weir for some reason.
How did they not know Johnny Weir? At a poker room.
Johnny Weir's hair, if you haven't seen
this. Hey, you guys, who was that?
Yeah.
Is that some guy?
Johnny Weir's hair
is.
Yeah,
like they said, some guy. I'm sure they used a different word.
So Johnny Weir's hair is really up there.
He's more than half a... He's full on, that one.
No, that's not at my prime. That's not the talk. And maybe your Chicago card rooms. So the hair is up. The outfit is... And he just said, between all the North Korea talk and this wardrobe, the Winter Olympics is essentially turning into the Hunger Games. And you look at Johnny Weir and you realize, oh my gosh, I pulled up a picture.
He looks like Stanley Tucci from the Hunger Games.
Yeah. The lady with the blonde wig and
Effie?
The hair. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
her too.
And her there's going to be many deaths today.
And no, but what's his
name? He looks like Stanley Tucci from the Hunger Games, the host of that stupid show.
He does have a little Tucci vibe too. It's like a combination of it. So yeah.
Tara Lipinski is the girl and he's Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is that funny? That is great stuff. Did you guys see the Christian Fauria got suspended from WEEI?
Yeah, 5 days.
5 days? He got
a week.
Yeah. He should just come work here. You could have done what he did here. I mean, you'd have no problem.
Well, not with Lance here.
Not with Lance is here. We can't do it anymore.
Because I'll rat you out. That's why I don't even do SEC guy. People are like, when's the SEC guy come back? Never. I actually swear to God, this is a real thing. I'm going to read this, and I don't care.
So if you don't know the story,
yeah, tell
Don
the story.
Yee, well, it was a WEEI listener, actually, that sent Ron Borges, a longtime Boston Herald Patriots reporter. I mean, this guy's been there since the 70s or 80s, whatever. He's an old guy. We had him on with me and Sean had him on. During Super Bowl one time.
He's an incorrigible anti, whoever is the host city, he crushes the host city all the time.
Yes, he's an old crotchety reporter.
Yeah, well, that's his old shtick, too. Yeah, that's right. Like, right. Oh, you're so cutting edge,
your city sucks, and, you know, and he's been covering the Patriots forever. So anyway, he gets a text, and the text says, hey, this is Don Yee, who is... Hey, old buddy, how are you? I haven't talked in a while. This is my new number or whatever. And he says, listen, Tom Brady is pissed, and he's going to sit out, and he's not coming in until he gets the same contract.
The story is this.
This is.
I know 4A is going to be here. The real story is that somebody tricked Ron Burgess with a fake text messages and email.
It was a WEEI listener.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm Don Yee, and Brady is not going to camp. He's pissed that Garoppolo got all that money, and until he gets his money, and Bill Belichick had to apologize to the team and all of this stuff. And Ron Borges wrote it. This came out, I was leaving on Friday morning. This came out Friday morning, and Brady two-faced. Look how two-faced Brady is, and he always talk about how it's team first and all this stuff. And look, he wants all this money, and he ain't coming in until he gets paid. Well, maybe not. Maybe Ron Borges got catfished. But how dumb are you? You didn't check it out. You didn't call him back. You didn't. He said, "Can I run with this story?" Yeah, you better. Or Schefter's going to have it.
And this is a veteran. This isn't new media. Just some guy fresh with no writing skills, no idea about how sources forever. Work. He just rolled with it.
Unbelievable. So he's been suspended by the paper because he got catfished and Ashley Renton, and it's an indefinite suspension. If they've ever wanted to get rid of this guy, then this is the time. And I'm convinced that whenever you fire somebody, you just wanted them gone anyway. I mean, that's a pretty good excuse. Let's get rid of him. Because otherwise, you're going to find any way possible to keep the dude. So anyway, they go on, and WEEI has the texts between Don Yee and Ron Borges because the WEEI listener sent them in. So Christian Fourier, he thinks it's funny that every time he reads a Don Yee tweet, he does it in a Chinese accent.
Well, and then they play the flute behind it. I mean, like, they went a little over the top.
They
on
also
Don Yee.
Play the audio of Don Yee, and he doesn't sound like,
no,
their
God.
Stereotype. And
yeah, my name's Don Yee. What's the problem? What are you guys doing?
I was listening to it. Yeah, I can see why some people might have a problem with it.
Well, I'm offended by it.
I heard it.
Anyone that's going to do an accent of another country's the way that they and make fun of the way they talk, I think, mm-hmm. should be suspended.
Huh.
That's what I think.
You do, huh?
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And
well, here's an Instagram message I got. Hey, why does Granado keep telling you to do an Indian accent, but you won't go near it? How would it be any different than any other accent you do? I'm Indian. I'm sure I'd think it's funny. Love all your accents. I said, no thanks. It would take one person to make it their mission to get me fired from my NFL gig for that, and they would. He goes, oh, I mean... There's actual racist statements that are said in the course of life, and then there's funny. I will say the fact that these are Boston guys does make it a little different because I know you and John aren't racist, and if you did an accent, I know it's not done to demean a race, just to be funny, just like your Prigioni Italian guy accent. That's not really. That's actually Italian. It's Argentinian. It's really everything. He said, I had immigrant parents. I know the accent's funny, but I can also see how it could come across bad if you really don't know the people doing the impersonations.
Yeah. Does Twitter know you?
People get their – that's the thing. Twitter doesn't know me, and they don't care. I said, oh, I completely agree with all this. I said, however, there are always people lurking, trying to find ways to bring other people down. I simply don't want to fall into that trap. Times have changed, and all the fun is going away. Obviously, I'm not a racist, and doing imitations are not racist. Unless they become mockeries. With that said, I know that, and you know that, but other people, either don't know that or don't care. They're simply trying to put away just another one of the quote-unquote bad guys.
Well,
agree
look,
and completely well, understand.
Look at you. You're a bad guy.
I don't even want to do SEC guy just because anyone can try to make. Yeah, Twitter doesn't know you. Not only do they know, they don't know you, they don't want to know you, they don't care, they just want you to lose.
Yeah.
They just want you to fail.
No. They want everyone to fail.
No, Twitter just wants you. Yeah. If you would kill yourself, Twitter would be like, well, yeah. I mean, so he killed himself.
We didn't need him around anyway.
Let me get this gif of somebody vomiting in a trash can. It's a deal. Send.
Let's get Jason in here. He wants to talk about Peter the Rabbit. Okay, Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on? So, you know, I also heard that Twitter's upset about the Peter Rabbit movie because they, I guess, Peter Rabbit helped somebody that's allergic to blackberries. So they're up in arms now that
no.
Peter, food allergies, and it's, I don't even understand.
Peter Rabbit.
Oh, my God. You're telling the truth. Sony apologized after Peter Rabbit movie exploits a food allergy upsetting parents.
What?
Swear to God. Sony Pictures apologized for Peter Rabbit scene saying it made light of food allergies.
Oh, my.
My what? Son. Let me tell you something. My daughter has a cashew allergy, okay? We've had to take her to the hospital before. We found out the hard way when she was 3 years old. Because her body, or four, because her body started to get hives and her face started to swell up. And we took her to the hospital. I said, yeah, she's allergic to cashews. Does she have cashews? Like, yeah, she had cashews. Okay, don't give them to her anymore. What do we need to do? Just give her some Benadryl. Well, she's fine. If it happens again, Benadryl.
Let's not make a movie out of it.
Well, here's what I do. I'll always joke and, like, I'll have the bag of cashews there, like, Marty, catch. No, I can't have cashews. Okay. I'll like take cashews.
What if
like,
she touches them? She thinks she's gonna get it.
I'll say things like, "Hey guys, you want any of this? What is it?" And she'll come running. I just said, and I was opening my hands, just cashews. No, you know I can't have cashews. That's a joke. I don't actually put cashews on.
Well, in this movie, the rabbits are trying to gain access to this guy's property, and they slingshot a blackberry right into his mouth, and he can't use his EpiPen, so he collapses. So they take it to a level where he almost dies.
Okay, they use food allergy
and it's a cartoon.
As a weapon, yeah.
As a weapon.
And it's a cartoon.
For somehow.
And the, no people were
actually,
hurt.
Actually, he was a human being.
In the making of this movie.
Yeah, clearly it's a movie. It's a live action movie. Cartoon plus actual people in it. So yeah. you actually see a human being nearly die, I guess, from blackberries.
And what?
I don't care.
It's a freaking movie.
We get it, John, I'm just explaining.
I get it.
Yeah. Critics have found a number of ways to describe Sony Pictures' new adaptation of Beatrix Potter's mischievous yet beloved bunny, Peter Rabbit. The modern Peter Rabbit is a frat bro, a raging narcissist, a vandal that escalates a feud into a truly sadistic display of violence. Now the bunny character has been billed as something else, a food allergy bully. That's because in one scene, Peter and his bunny friends gang up on their nemesis, Mr. McGregor, by pelting him with blackberries, even though he's allergic to them. Sounds like something a bully would do. Do you guys not know? Anti-bullying. When one berry lands in his mouth, he begins to choke before injecting himself with an EpiPen. At least he had his pen, right?
He collapsed,
did
though,
he die,
apparently.
Or did he live?
See, Dale, he did have an EpiPen.
No, I said he struggled to use it, and he collapsed.
People die every
the
day.
The scene prompted intense backlash from allergy advocacy groups and parents of children with food allergies who said it mocked an attack that in real life could have proved fatal. The segment led to a hashtag on Twitter, hashtag boycott Peter Rabbit, and an online petition demanding an apology.
Look, John, you're over there grabbing your head because you can't believe it. What would have happened if a cartoon rabbit sent something to your child who was allergic to it? You know what happens? That child might die. So you know what? Remove the movie. Sony, another faux pas.
Oh, my God.
On Sunday, Sony Pictures Good issued Lord, an apology. I'm going to read this apology just to finish John off. Oh,
no,
damn it.
No, we're not.
Phrasing, by the way. You probably shouldn't say just to finish John
off.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Just to finish John off.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That'll be a hotkey.
Speaking of which, time to talk about Dr. Rorick. Okay.
Oh, that's terrible.
Time to talk about your...
That's not on purpose.
That didn't happen. That did just happen, though. Dr. Rorick is the guy who can help your sex life today, tomorrow, all the way going forward. If you've had issues with your sex life, then you got to call my guy. He is really been helping people for years doing this, but it's taken off here. It's the Gaines Wave Therapy. And with the, I mean, it's a, how many billions of dollars do the Cialis and then the Blue Pill, how much Viagra, how much do they make? I mean, this is, it's an unbelievable industry. Well, Doc Rorick says, how about you save some money? It can be as low as $150 a month to get the Gaines Wave Therapy. And that's like, you're saving a lot of money because those pills are really, really expensive. Well, here's the deal. Is Doc Rourke is helping guys every day get that love life back. And it's Valentine's Day. Do this for her. Do this for her for this Valentine. She'd like that a hell of a lot more than anything else you can possibly give her. A love life back. ImproveMyErection.com, 281-496-3355, or ImproveMyErection.com. Tell the doc that you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.